Fall camp begins this week across the country. Tom Luginbill joins us to discuss all things college football. And France ruins the Olympics. Shocker. Check it out on more on Crane & Company. What's up, everybody out there listening? We appreciate you guys, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, doesn't matter. Thanks for listening. If you can, leave us a 5-star review, and please keep sharing the show. We have finally made it to the opening week of fall camp in the college football realm, which is the final step into getting us officially into season mode, especially if you weren't already there yet. And we here at Crane & Company wanted to drop some superlatives on what fall camp means and some of the most important parts. Now, the first is that if you're hoping to start building team chemistry during fall camp, then you're already lost and even perhaps too far gone. Fall camp should be the crescendo of team chemistry that was built during winter workouts, spring practice, and summer workouts. Even with the transfer portal freedom we have now, you cannot wait until camp to start building the brotherhood. Another vital point that many coaches are going to try and hammer home for fall camp is that everybody can get excited about the first couple days. The trick for the best teams is having guys who are excited about day 10, day 11, when you're tired and your body hurts, your mind is exhausted, and the grind is really getting to you. That's when leadership is needed the most, not just the first few days when you're basically practicing in pajamas and everybody smiles. There are no more four-a-days, three-a-days, or hell, even two-a-days, but it's still a grind, and it should be. Coaches should also embrace innovation during fall camp. Don't be afraid to mix it up. One of the smartest things I've seen coaches do during camp is to have opposite day from a meeting standpoint. Send the wide receivers into the DB room with the DB coach so they can figure out what the other side is trying to do to them and vice versa. It's fun because it's different and it's beneficial because it's a change in perspective. Now, lastly, the players have to understand, yes, you want to compete every day to either win a job or keep a job. But you have to also protect your teammates, and you've got to learn how to practice. Now, this is especially hard for young players trying to prove their stuff. There are plays where you can take guys out, but you have to know when to say when and understand that practice on this level is different from high school, just like it's different at the NFL than it is in college. Learning how to practice is just as important as making plays during practice from an efficiency standpoint. So, football junkies everywhere, rejoice! We have made it to camp. And in the next few weeks, we will have kickoff, which we all know it's going to be glorious. Speaking of glorious, former Michigan quarterback David Cohn joins me. My brother, former Western State Colorado wide receiver Blaine Crane. David, you know, I always wondered, and I'm sure you got tons of great fall camp stories, but fall camp's just got to be awesome for quarterbacks.
No.
It's got to be awesome for quarterbacks. You get to go out there in your pretty little don't hit me jerseys. You don't got to do inside drill. There's no one-on-one pass rush. You can't touch them. Stay off them. Get to go out there, throw the ball around, you know, get those pads loose and everything. I mean, just how much
do you hear this guy?
How much fun is
it? Do you hear this guy right here?
Defensive guys. Look, I'm a receiver. No one touches you.
Thank you.
No one touches you.
Thank you. First of all, we were live for several of those 30 days.
Several of them.
Multiple.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. Tell that to the three tech.
Second of all, if that's the team's philosophy on which, I wasn't the starting quarterback at Michigan. I was just one of the guys who was a little bit lower on the depth chart. If that's your team's philosophy, which is a smart thing to not get your quarterbacks injured, then that's how practice always is for them. They're always in a different color jersey. You know, fall camp is tough on fall. There was a time in my life where August was the worst month of the year. And it's not just for the practice or the two-a-days or all of that. You're sequestered away from all of the rest of life. You know, like
oh, yeah.
You're away from every female, every other student that's on campus. Everyone else is still home for the summer, getting that last lake trip in. You're sequestered away from the world in a hotel with 120 other guys.
Yeah.
Well, that's not fun.
That's why they always said, like, the coaches that should be the most worried on campus that coach women's sports should be whatever sport that shows up first during fall camp, during football. Because, again, the students aren't there, so you're going in and eating at the calf. Like, it's just y'all. And all of a sudden, here comes the volleyball team. And they call it camp something. I'm not going to say what it is. But it's when you don't see girls for a while and you're sequestered, so all of them look good, like look better than what they normally would. I used to feel for like the volleyball coach or the poor soccer coach. Because it's like, you might as well just have Victoria's Secret models, you know, walking. It's like they say when you get out of prison, like all the girls look better than what they really are. But Blaine, you got to do camp and like right next to the Grinch. What are you laughing at? You know exactly what I'm talking about.
You're right.
Call it camp leg. They also call it something
so
else. It is true. But well, what's a good, you got a good fall camp story?
No, not a great story. The most of the teams I coached were terrible. That's probably the best story I can give you.
Can you talk about the time? Can you talk about your first coaching gig when you went to, and I'll let you tell the place, and you watched you guys film and then realized how bad y'all were?
Oh, yeah. It's a place out in Colorado. And look, I've been around bad teams. I've seen bad teams. I've never seen someone who got a bunch of guys together and actually let the organization call it a football team. These look like, you ever went and watched like a church league, like a 9-man football or 10-man? Look, they try hard. They fight. There's no way. And there'd be differences in the guys that we had if everybody was bad in the conference.
Yeah, if everybody was bad together.
If everybody was this bad or a little better, that's fine. You know, I can work with that. Second week, we went to somewhere. I don't know if it was JUCO kids. The first two kids I saw were 6'5". I was like, there's no way in God's earth. We were down 45 in the first quarter in 15 minutes. Can you imagine how many bad things has to happen for to be down 45?
All the bad things.
In the first quarter. So when it comes to fall camp, I'll tell you this. All right? You're out of society. You're out of life. You're around your guys. It's a melting pot. This is where leadership comes into. And I think a lot of it has to do with the coach and how he schedules his guys when it comes to you get into that routine of being a football player. Right, going to the calf, doing this. I want to know, do you think fall camp now, all right, is even close to back in the day to what it was?
No, it's not.
Because you can't have 2-a-days, correct?
Nope. I mean, there are times, remember, our dad used to tell us back when he used to play in Auburn in 86 and 87, they'd have 4-a-days.
That's
4-a-days. So just to save an extra 15 minutes, some of them would sleep in their tape. Just to save having to get up in the morning. But like 4-a-days, like look, 3-a-days, that's brutal. I mean, that's borderline like war camp stuff. 2-a-days, not easy, right? There's still a little bit lingering of 2-a-days, but 4-a-days? Mm. 4 practices in a day? Look, man. I love football. I love it. But even from a coaching standpoint, I'm like,
I don't
damn,
have a military background, but I can imagine that these football coaches really structured this around what it was like to be in the military. And then welcome week, like the week you have when all of the students do come back and the season's about to start, that's like the greatest week ever. But did you guys have to sing? Was that
the best part.
Okay,
that's the best part.
Every freshman football player at Michigan had to sing. And the requirement was you had to get through the first verse, the chorus, the second verse, and the chorus. So you couldn't just go up there and just know the first couple lines. Luckily, Scott Leffler, my quarterback coach, told me this like in May when I arrived on campus for summer practice. He said, look, it's just a reality of playing football here. You're going to have to sing a song during camp. You're not going to know when you're going to get called up, so you might as well work on it now.
I always loved it when you do the skits. Because the ones that just like weren't singing only, when they were actually like about the coach or something,
doing the
coach's impression. You did.
We did a skit where our coach was extremely short. Coming from a coaching background, I know when it comes to periods, how you schedule out of practice. And we would do weirdly amounts of special teams more than offense and defense. And it made no sense. So I taped shoes to my knees. And walked in with the other players and pretending like we were doing most like inside offense. In the middle of it, we'd call special teams.
Yeah.
Like at most random. But we won it. It was good. That's what we did. Each singing or skits, one or the other.
Yeah. We want to know in the chat. Give us, if you got a good fall camp story or you got a great fall camp story from somebody else, let us know in the chat. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Hit that like button. And we know we do have football this Thursday. We have the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
But once we get past fall camp, we're legitimately into kickoff. You want to go to the games because there are very few things better in life than being at a live sporting event or a live event in general. And that's what makes it even better when you use the Game Time app. Our friends at Game Time are sponsoring this episode. It's a fast and easy way to buy tickets online. Whether, you know, you live in Nashville and you want to go to a Titans game or a Preds game, or even if you want to go to a concert and you can get tickets up to an hour before the event. One of the best perks of their apps, you can see the view, what the view from your seat will look like ahead of time. And with Zone Deals, David, you pick the section and Game Time picks the seats for big time savings. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. It's very simple. Download the Game Time app from your app store on your computer machine. You create an account and use code Booster, B-O-O-S-T-E-R, to get $20 off your first purchase. Again, create an account after you download the Game Time app from the app store. Redeem the code Booster, B-O-O-S-T-E-R, for $20 off with Game Time. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. Terms apply. Stay in the game with Game Time. All right, let's get to the chat.
All right, Chad, hit that like, hit that subscribe button. If you donate and it's on topic, it will get read. Let's start it off with Christina. Christina, hello. She says, what goes into a 4-a-days? How would you even get that done?
Well, and I'm trying to remember exactly the way my father explained it to me. So you'd wake up, right? You'd have practice at like 7 to 7:30. You get done with practice, you know, an hour and a half, whatever. Then you have another practice at 10:30 up until lunch at noon. You eat lunch, you have meetings. You'd have a practice again at 3:30. You'd get done with that. You'd have dinner, and then you'd go back out there and have some sort of walkthrough or jog through that night at like 7:30, 8 o'clock, whatever. And then you'd go and do it again the next day. Like it used to be.
And walkthroughs, some of these. Now, walkthroughs now, correct me if I'm wrong, don't count as any practice event or anything.
No, not technically. Because, I mean, a lot of guys in pre-practice will have walkthroughs before their actual practice and then stay after and do some corrections after the actual practice. But then you have your bona fide like walkthroughs. Hey, offense is going to get together. Let's get together the team. Let's get together in the gym. Let's get together right outside. Just walk through some of these formations. You do the same thing defensively reacting. All right, hey, they're coming out in this formation. Here's what we're going to. They move. They motion into this. We're going to check to whatever our 3-by-1 checks are. All that good stuff.
All right, let's go to Donald. Donald, what's up, brother? He says, what are a couple teams fall camp that you're really locked into hearing news from?
Well, you know, again, a lot of the stuff you hear out of fall camp that's not like this guy got injured and he's out for the year or something happened off the field, it's all propaganda. Like if you're waiting to hear, like nobody ever, no coach ever during a fall camp has gone to the media halfway through at the end and be like, God, this camp was terrible. We suck. Like this was an awful camp. They'll always use words like, we're not where we want to be yet, but we're getting there. Some that I would single out that I find interesting, you know, you start in the Southeastern Conference, you know, just the way Alabama operates theirs with Kalen DeBoer, I think it's going to be interesting to find out with David Cone's old roommate, Nick Sheridan there. You know, I think Auburn's is going to be interesting, right, with some of the new pieces that they have. Outside of that, I mean, you're just going to get a lot of propaganda in the media. Oh, this guy, there's always good surprises and bad surprises. Right. If you're being honest with yourself as a coach during fall camp, some guys end up shocking you and can end up helping out the team. And then some guys you were hoping to count on, you find out you really can't. So I wouldn't fall too deep in the what news is coming out from a media standpoint that's not, hey, this guy got hurt, this guy's sitting out of practice, this happened, or whatever. But across the country, again, I'm just looking for injuries. That's why we don't do our predictions until that last week of fall camp. We call it prediction week going into August 24th this year. So the 17th going into August 24th is that you find out who gets hurt, who gets arrested, and who wins what job. But the quarterback battles are the easy answer.
Yeah, that's
right.
That's the
most easy one. But as far as anything else, outside of injury announcements, I'm not too locked into it.
Let's go to Musky Musket. What's up, brother? He says, how much install goes in for the first couple of days?
Well, and
your first couple day install.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny because a lot of the stuff, especially nowadays, should already be installed. Even the guys that came in, you know, early during the summer, the freshmen, that they're meeting with players and they get they've been going through the book and the install. It's the guys that maybe didn't get there till late, right? The freshmen that got there late that are going into fall camp. You always revisit stuff. Day 1, day 2, day 3 install. You have it segmented out. and you do start from scratch, but hopefully the guys are so caught up that you can skip ahead a little bit and let the younger guys learn as they go. But some places, especially if you didn't have guys there or you got brand new guys or it's your first year there, you are starting from the scratch of the scratch. David, do you have an example of a day one install you can
Here's right here? Yeah, here's day one install. I don't know if they can see this on
tell
camera.
Them, tell them that. Read them a little bit of day one
This install. Is a package of day one install. This is under screen. Speed Break Detroit Dark Left 16 Star or Purdue X Slush. Speed Break Phony Left Whip 16 Star or Uno Planet. Start List Sting UF Go 17 Screen Right. Z Start Float Right Up Y Screen or Y Return 17 Y Screen Right. I mean, that's just the first four plays. So we got a screens package, Nebraska and Kansas, which is bootleg. For us, shots play. So here's an example of a shot play to take a shot downfield. Speed Break Daytona, Liz Wing ZN, Kansas 17, X Deep or Planet, and then our whole drop back. So this is first or second down drop back.
So the book that you get, right? Because you get a book, your camp notebook, you have the install schedule on there, and then you have the basics of what everything means that leads into the playbook behind it. Typically with designs of if you're on offense, hey, this is how we line up. This is the list of formations, right? Our 2x2 formations, doubles, dice, duo, all this stuff. Then add a 10 personnel. Then we go into 11 personnel, one tight end, one running back. This is our list of formations. They even have route trees, right? It just depends on, it's very position specific and side of the ball specific. So there's a little insight into what it actually looks like.
Let's go to Mr. Ed, hashtag AskCNC. Do you like fighting amongst players during fall camp? And how much do coaches instigate?
Well, look, there's a line in everything, right? You want guys to be competitive, especially early. You got guys fighting for jobs, guys trying to make a good first impression. And as a defensive guy, I wanted some fighting. But here's what I'll say. There's two different perspectives. You have the player's perspective, right? Which, again, you are guys on the same team. So even if you get after it, you've got to be able to understand. And this goes back to learning how to practice, which I talked about in the opening. You've got to understand that once it's off the field, it's off the field. You can't take something that happened on the field into the locker room and then start causing problems there. But the second perspective, and I've been a part of this, is if you're a coach and you young coaches out there, there's a fight breaks out, all right? You want to show your stuff and you want to go and break it up, you better keep your ass on a swivel and you better duck, dive, dip, dodge, and duck, whatever it was. There are fights, especially, you know, you got OLDL fights and you're one of the younger coaches or one of the smaller coaches. You go in there at your own risk, right? You go in there at your own risk. We've actually been through fall camp and watched fights and practice and then watched the slow-mo of the coaches in there like ducking helmets and all type of stuff. So you're going to go in there and break it up. Like, I want some good old-fashioned. It needs to be physical. Needs to be a little bit of hate in the heart. But you got to be careful when you go in there and then you can't let it bleed off the field into the locker room. There's an old saying. You never want to leave the field with me being mad at you. Are you being mad at me? And I think that goes for everybody.
All right, let's go to Michael. What's up, Mike? David, how long did it take you to remember all those plays and terminology?
Oh, never. I don't ever remember all of them.
No.
Faked my way through some of the last ones. But the toughest part about it is, okay, so you have those installs, right, that you're going in fall camp. And what that'll be like Jake was talking about is you have your base plays. Here's something we can run against a defense that may give us multiple looks. So we have zone beater and man beater built into the same play. And we're going to see these looks throughout the entire season. So we're going to install that. Then we're going to install some very specific plays. Hey, for week one, when we play so-and-so, this is going to be a nice package. We'll get to that when we play them that week. But here's some plays we have. And then you always have like a couple that you're getting ready for rivalry week. Hey, when we play the Buckeyes, here's a couple plays. Just because we know their defensive coordinator likes to do this, this, or that, just keep in mind when week 12 hits, here's going to be some plays that we run, right? So that's your base plays, but then you really install that week's game plan whenever you play that team.
Yeah, but speaking about game plans, there's some NFL teams that have their game plans put together some of these contracts at QB, Dave.
Two huge new contracts. So Jordan Love signed 4 years, $220 million. We talked about this one a little bit, but this makes him the highest paid quarterback in NFL history. So a $75 million signing bonus and $155 million in new guarantees. But I just want to contrast that with Tua's contract that he got as well. 4 years, $212 million, $42 million signing bonus, $147 million in practical guarantees. How would you guys compare these contracts right now? Jordan Love, obviously, only 1 year sample size in starting. We've seen Tua for multiple years, but multiple injuries before completing last year in its entirety. You know, which deal do you think is better, or do you hate both deals?
Well, I'm looking back at this quarterback draft class that had Joe Burrow and Tua and Jordan Love and Jalen Hurts, and all these guys are making huge money. I think a lot of it, and this is obvious, has to do with the market that's out there, right? To be competitive, you got to compete in the market. To make your guys feel comfortable, they have to feel like you're paying them a competitive salary against their peers and other people in the league. So I understand why they keep getting higher, but you have to look at each circumstance, and every circumstance is different. We talked about this last week. If you're the Packers, you have to do this because you gambled on Jordan Love being that guy. Right? All right, Aaron Rodgers, you know, there we go. We'll move on from Aaron Rodgers. Jordan Love is the heir apparent. He's bided his time. Then he comes out and makes your gamble look smart, makes your bet look smart. So what do? When you have a smart bet that looks good and you have a chance to double down, you double down, right? If you're showing 11 in blackjack, hell, you double. The first part's taken care of. You may get a face, get 21. You can't lose. So I understand why the Packers did it. We can talk about the money, the amount of money, but that's just market value for a guy to feel comfortable that you are saying is our franchise moving forward at the most position, our important position, which is quarterback. Well, when you look at Tua, Tua showed you that he can make it through a year healthy, right? Now, do I trust him fully to stay healthy throughout an NFL season 2 years in a row? I don't. But I don't trust a lot of quarterbacks to stay healthy for two NFL seasons in a row. You look, Jalen Hurts has been beat up. Joe Burrow's obviously been beat up. It's hard to stay healthy as a quarterback, but I understand the Dolphins, Frankenstein this offense together. They're trying to go win glory now. This isn't a, hey, we'll sign Tua and then we'll let the next quarterback come in and all these other pieces will be great and they'll be ready to go win. No, they're trying to win right now. And as far as Jalen Hurts, I mean, Jalen Hurts has proven that he's a leader. Jalen Hurts has proven that, you know, he does have the ability to run a certain style. Now we'll see, now that the league has kind of caught up to them a little bit, you know, you still have some big pieces, but if that can maintain, I just feel like you have to do this, David, because this is the market now. And if you find your quarterback and you got your guy, you got to pay him something close to what, and did Deshaun Watson start this crazy mania? No, quarterback's been getting paid forever. He just kind of extended it. The ones I'm a little bit iffy on, right? Jordan Love, sample size. I can understand Blaine's argument. He doesn't trust him 100% yet, but you had to do it. It's like the Trevor Lawrences and the quarterbacks that have been on the periphery of being great. They're seeing some, obviously, you know, undue influence or good money sent their way because of the market. I just don't know how you get out of this, right?
Will any of these teams regret these contracts?
I think the Packers will. I think Jordan Love won't have a better season than he did last year in his whole career. I think
in his whole career.
His whole career, I don't think he'll have a better season. 32 touchdowns, 11.
So that's a worse deal than Tua, you think?
Yeah, I do, because like when it comes to Tua, I know he's got injured, but he's proven it, and it's more, I think you overpaid for both. I think we can both sit, all three of us sit up here and say you overpaid for both. I guess that's just a quarterback market, but you overpaid. I think Tua, I trust Tua more because I've seen Tua do it through college, win a natty. I've seen Tua, even with injured from an athletic standpoint, I've seen Tua. I know Tua has it. Right? I've seen it for multiple years. I know he's got it. I know he has elite receivers, but I've just seen it 1 year from Jordan. That's all I've seen. And I just don't know if it's going to get better. His receivers are young, has talent, but up front, the Packers didn't get any better. Like, there's certain things that I don't believe in Jordan Love to where you paid him the highest paid quarterback in the NFL for Jordan Love after one season. We say this about running backs all the time. Right, what's the difference between this running back getting money or getting shot down than Jordan Love the next year? If you trust this guy that much, Packers, that much, that you're willing to pay him this amount of money for a year that's coming up where he's not going to do better than last year, what this year makes you think he's going to do better than last year?
Well, here's the thing. Like, yeah, we can sit here and question some of the decisions, but what's the alternative? Like, the alternative is, you don't pay him a good amount of money. Now he's upset. The deal doesn't get done. And he goes out and balls his ass off this year. And then you lose him because he was upset because you didn't pay him before. To me, then you have to really start all over. To me, that's a bigger risk than paying him. Because again, if you didn't pay him, now not only are you upsetting him, you're showing doubt after what he showed you last year, when that should be what binds his team together and shows Packer fans, hey, we're set for the future. We're doubling down on the bet we made because we feel like it was a good bet. And after last year, I don't know how you look at it and say, oh, well, the offensive line didn't get any better, but Jordan, you know, they're not going to be much worse. They won't be much better, but Jordan Love's going to be worse than he was last year. I just don't see that.
Go ahead.
No, I don't think – I think you overpaid for Jordan Love.
Like, yeah, I guess there's a difference between, like, paying a guy a lot of money and then making everybody the highest paid player, right?
Jordan Love's the highest paid quarterback of the NFL.
Yeah, for about 2 weeks until the next guy needs to get
I mean, I guess – and that's the main point is that the current state right now – I mean, it wasn't that long ago before Tom Brady and Peyton Manning were the highest paid quarterbacks at $20 million a year. We're almost triple that right now, which I think is just a reflection of what a good state the NFL is in, right? Which I don't want to criticize that, and we're all free market guys. So if the market is driving the prices that high, I don't ever want to appear as someone who's like hating on guys for getting their money. At the same time, not everybody can be the best guy, right? Like, don't you want to see the best guy get paid the most amount of money? I will say Patrick Mahomes did come out and say, I'm not underpaid. Like, I don't have a problem with my contract. Stop trying to make me convinced that I'm underpaid right now. And that's the reflection. That says everything you need to know about back-to-back Super Bowl champs.
Jordan Love's
also, the Packers have bought up a lot of equity with the way they've handled their quarterback.
That's my thing. Again, like, who? It's like with Alex Anthopoulos for the Braves. Like, bro, I trust you. Like, what? People ask, what are the Braves going to do at the trade deadline? What are the Braves going to do at the trade deadline? Whatever Alex Anthopoulos wants to do, you show me who you are enough, I'm going to believe you. The man's made more nice moves than Patrick Swayze and John Travolta put together. I trust the Packers when it comes to quarterback because, again, didn't miss going from Brett to Aaron. So far, it looks like they hadn't missed going from Aaron to Jordan. And let's not forget, the two guys before them were Hall of Fame quarterbacks. So I'm not saying Jordan Love's going to be Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre, but if there is a track record or somebody that I'm going to trust, if Little Debbie came up to me and said, you know what, I'm going to make you a little cake treat. I'm going to believe they're going to make a fire-ass cake treat. You want to know why? Because it's Little Debbie, and I see your track.
It's not just quarterback either. The offensive line is a big part of this.
Huge.
They built up equity with having great offensive lines for the past 30 years. Miami Dolphins, I mean, you got to go back to Don Shula.
Yeah.
The last time they had an offensive line quarterback combo that was lethal.
No, without a doubt. It's interesting to see. Speaking about interesting to see, Tom Luganville is going to be on here literally in about 6 minutes. And then we're going to open the phone lines up at 2:45 p.m. Central, 1-855-236-3228. Let's get back to the chat.
All right, let's get to the chat. $5 donation from David. Appreciate it, David. I have always said there's no such thing as overpaid. Nothing drives me crazier than a clueless casual parroting overpaid for every deal made. I believe getting overpaid is a real thing.
Well, I think... Again, when you look at what the market's going to be here 2 or 3 years down the road, like I think it all goes into the calculus. Yeah, you could say maybe could the Packers have gotten away with not paying him that much? Maybe, but I just don't think it's worth the headache of having to go and redo this thing over if Jordan Love continues to ball out, then all of a sudden gets drowned by every other quarterback that gets a contract here in the market. I mean, nobody should be happier than any of these young quarterbacks that just got drafted this past year. You don't even have to be the best quarterback in the league, to your point, and you can be the highest paid quarterback in the league for at least a couple months.
After nine good games.
Yeah, I mean, but
9 good games to be the highest paid quarterback.
What's the alternative?
Are we surprised this happens to everybody? I mean, coaches? I mean, you have one good year.
Doesn't happen to everybody. It happens to a lot of people.
But you
in sports.
Win 8 games. Here's the vault. Here, take anything you want. Trust me. Yeah. I mean, someone call
Mel Tucker.
Physic. All right, let's go to Action Jack. Action, what's up, brother? He says, right now, who are you taking? Jordan Love or Tua?
To win a Super Bowl? I mean, I think the Dolphins are more ready, so the answer's got to be.
I would say even teams, you taking Jordan Love or you taking Tua?
Even teams.
I'll wait for y'all to say Tua. Don't worry.
Man, I think you got to take Jordan Love at this point, and I hate to say it. I hate to say it. I'm a huge Tua fan.
One game or a season?
Got to be the full season. Well, you got to play out there in career, right? I mean, that's a big part of what
I'm
going to
go Jordan Love, man.
I think most GMs would say the same.
Yeah, I'm going to go Jordan Love.
All right, let's go to Tito 37. Tito from Hawaii. Good to see you and your brother. Blaine, you are wrong about Jordan Love. He proved a lot last year. I know the offensive line didn't get better, but the receivers are young. You are not wrong.
Tito, I love your vodka and I love that take.
He's not wrong. You look at the wide receivers they have, but when it comes to Wiggs, they got old boy from Michigan State.
Jaden Reed's nice.
Jaden Reed from Michigan State, who's an absolute dog. So I think he's...
Is not an Ambi Turner, Christian Watson.
I don't think he's wrong. Let's go to a $5 donation from Timmy. Appreciate it, Timmy. As a Packers fan, it is a bogus deal. 8 great games, and we decide let's give love everything. What a joke. I agree with Blaine. I don't think he gets better. Okay,
and this is coming from a Green Bay fan. I'm just wondering what in the track record of Green Bay, but not saying that just because you have a good track record means you'll never make a mistake, and we'll see with Jordan Love. This is just to me, not trusting, you know, Charmin Ultra when you think about less is more. Like, this is what the Packers do. Say anything you want about the defense, right, wide receiver, any other position. The Packers have not missed on quarterback. I know there's not a huge amount of guys, but they have not only not missed, they have been pinpoint in replacing a Hall of Famer with a Hall of Famer. And at least at this point, Jordan Love looks pretty damn good for a young quarterback in the NFL. I would take Jordan Love over Trevor Lawrence in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat, I would take him over Trevor Lawrence.
I think you're wrong.
Oh, okay. Why?
What does Jordan Love do better than Trevor Lawrence?
Not turn the ball over when it matters the most.
Well, I feel like Trevor Lawrence...
Trevor Love's got more turnovers than a bakery.
I think Trevor Lawrence had to do a lot more for a less talented team. And then the draft came, and then they started drafting better.
So the Jags have worse receivers than the Packers did.
When Trevor Lawrence got there,
I'm talking about throughout where Trevor Lawrence has been the past couple years.
Okay. Meanwhile, Dak Prescott sitting over there like, wait, you want to talk about money? There's not a second tier of quarterbacks anymore? You can just be the mid-tier and then be the highest paid player? Dak's sitting over there smiling.
No, he's Dak's like, about matter. To get...
The Raiders will pick me up tomorrow. He's like, I don't care.
If Jordan Love is getting that much money, they may give Dak Prescott 30% of the revenue that Dallas generates.
That's what I'm saying. There used to be tiers. Like, Dak used to be fine. Like, the Alex Smiths of the world used to be fine saying, okay, we're not Tom Brady. We're not Patrick Mahomes. We know that. We're going to get really, really rich and be in that second tier and possibly give our team still a chance to win the Super Bowl. Not anymore.
You know who'd be a good guy to ask about this?
Well, if Tom Lugan,
he's here. There he is.
There he is.
Our buddy. Tom Luganbill on the streets. He's known as Lugs. You can catch him on ESPN. The man's literally everywhere. Lugs, it's been a while, man. What's up?
Hey, man, I'm doing really good. I was just listening to your conversation. Here's one for you to discuss. When it's all said and done, who will have the better career, Jordan Love or Tua Tagovailoa?
Well, see, to me, if we're talking who legitimately do I think can win a Super Bowl first, the easy answer is Tua, because I feel like the team is kind of Frankenstein together for them to win now. But, man, there's just something about the Packers, and I don't know. I'm not too quick to pick Tua. I think it's a lot more even, Tom. I don't mean to take the easy way out, but I think it's pretty even.
I do, too. It's interesting, too, because I think in this day, more so than ever before in the National Football League, when we talk about pressures and sacks and hurries, that's not an offensive line stat anymore.
No.
All right? That's a quarterback stat. And Tua was the second least sacked quarterback in the NFL last year, and it was all because of timing and getting the ball out of your hand, right? Yeah. That carries a lot of weight, man. I'm just telling you, it does, and it's going to prolong a career, and it's going to provide a lot of opportunities.
I agree 100%. I want to shift gears here, Tom. I wanted your thoughts on this. Hugh Freeze and Auburn's coaching staff is hotter than a sumo wrestler in a fur sleeping bag next to a volcano right now in state. All right, 2025. Yeah. I grew up in Auburn, keep up with everybody. I have never seen Auburn attack the state of Alabama like this. Right now, for the 2025 class, they have the number 2 overall ranked player in the state, Jared Smith, just flipped from Alabama to Auburn. They got Malik Autry, number 3, just is with Auburn. Number 4, Ja'Caleb Falk from Highland Home, just is with Auburn. Number 5, Eric Winters from Enterprise is to Auburn. Number 7, Derek Smith from Selma is going to Auburn. Jordan Crawford, the 8th ranked overall player, going to Auburn from Birmingham. Anquan Fagans from Thompson and Alabaster, basically Birmingham, going to Auburn. And then Antonio Coleman, right, obviously related to the Antonio Coleman that played at Auburn, from Saraland in Mobile, is going to Auburn. Tom, Kalen DeBoer, Alabama's recruiting great, right?
Oh,
but
sure.
I had an SEC assistant coach today, a guy we've had on the show before, text me about 30 minutes before we went on and say Auburn is not messing around. They are not playing around. This is as ferocious as they've seen Auburn, not only in getting guys to listen, but right now getting guys to commit. Have you ever seen anything like this in the state of Alabama for Auburn?
Well, no, not in the state of Alabama for Auburn. I've seen them go on really strong runs in terms of personnel and recruiting classes before. But that's a different state, man, because, you know, for example, Ohio State doesn't have a peer in the state of Ohio. We've got some MAC teams, right? And you've got Cincinnati out of the Big 12, but you don't have a true competitor and a peer like a program like Alabama. Now, the one thing I will say in all of this, because a lot of those have been recent flips, right?
Yep.
We're seeing on-campus visits, unofficial visits, attending camps. And this is the thing that I've learned over the last 20 years on this subject is, first of all, every one of these guys is like having a 500-pound Marlin on the line, but he's 500 yards away. And it's going to take a long time to reel him in, because this is a marathon. It's not a sprint.
For sure.
And these kids, and listen, I get it. I've been in the position too. If you've ever taken an official visit and they're rolling out the red carpet and you feel like $1 million and everything is right, everything's perfect, you come away from that visit. But what happens is you've got to allow yourself to take that 72-hour decompression period. Sit back, take it all in before you start making changes and shifts and judgments and switches. And we probably don't do enough of that with young people. And I get it. They're prisoners of the moment. It's so exciting. But we see a lot of that. And that's not just exclusive to a tug of war between Alabama and Auburn recruiting. I would say that's been, by and large, you know, pretty true, particularly over the last 3 to 5 years, and especially since name, image, and likeness got involved. Because that, more than anything else now, is the driving force. I'm not saying it should be. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm not saying we shouldn't have it. I'm just saying it is a much more significant factor. And if you are a university, and I know Auburn is, and Alabama is as well, but if you're in a university that's willing to push all your chips to the table in that regard, then you're going to have some success.
Yeah. No, and David, it's one of those things where a lot of times in state, when you look at the state of Alabama, it's not just who is committing where, it's where they're from. I cannot tell you the last time I remember Auburn going and flipping a player from Mobile that wasn't a legacy from Alabama like they did with Perry Thompson last year at Foley. Now you've got Antonio Coleman, who is a legacy from Saraland down there, but it's Birmingham, it's Mobile, it's the smaller counties. Make no mistake, Alabama football is the most popular within the state of Alabama when it comes to Auburn,
sure,
especially when you get into the smaller counties. But the last part of this puzzle, and to go to your point, Tom, before we shift, for Auburn to be able to be operating at its highest efficiency and hitting on all cylinders, and this is obvious, but it's very true and it's very important. The last ingredient in this recipe is on-the-field success. They've got incredible resources, a brand-new state-of-the-art facility. The fan base is aligned. The administration is aligned. The donors are aligned. The players are aligned. And that doesn't happen a lot at Auburn. The last thing is, now you got to win. If Auburn can go 8-4, and I know that's not the standard to Auburn, but sometimes reality has to be accepted. Just to have something to show to these recruits and say, look, the on-the-field progress is matching up with all the stuff I've sat here for the last 2 years in your living room and told you. If Auburn can do that, the fight is real, and Auburn will come back to relevance very quickly.
And then you got to keep them from transferring immediately.
That's exactly right.
Dabo did it Clemson his first 5 years. Yep.
Well, to that point on Clemson,
you got to keep them from transferring, David. You're exactly right.
Yeah, I mean, in this day and age, then you got to put in the time that it takes to keep them from transferring. But talking about Clemson, let's talk about the ACC. We were highlighting each team last week during the ACC media days. I mean, the prevailing narrative on a team like Clemson, right, is, oh, well, you know, they still have some really good players, but Dabo Swinney hadn't embraced the transfer portal, and Cade Klubnik has limitations. For Florida State, oh, they'll return some really good players from an undefeated, regular season, but they're going to start DJ Uiagalelei, who's already left Clemson in multiple programs. You know, I mean, meanwhile, the conference seems to be up for grabs. You have programs on the rise, like a Georgia Tech or like a Virginia Tech, Syracuse that we've been talking about. I'm still really bullish on Miami. I know people are criticizing Mario Cristobal and some of the decisions he made. I think they landed the best quarterback in the transfer portal in Cam Ward, who decided not to go to the NFL. I mean, as we sit here right now with fall camp about to start, who's going to win the ACC?
It's a great question. I don't have a definitive answer yet. I do think that if we see a step taken by Cade Klubnik and we get some speed infused at the offensive skill spots at Clemson, I think it's going to come from two young guys, Bryant Wesco and TJ Moore. They're both true freshmen. They can flat out run. And they were lacking that a year ago. And they were banged up. You know, they ended up leaning on a true freshman in Tyler Brown last year because everybody else was hurt. If they make that improvement on offense, they're loaded on defense. They would be the team that I would probably say has the leg up. Now, the thing that's interesting, and I heard this, I was covering Big 12 Media Days, and then I heard it repeatedly with the coverage of SEC Media Days. And when I was at the ACC this past week, is the question of, well, how many playoff caliber teams do these conferences have, right, now that we've expanded to 12? And I think that's the wrong question, because the reality is there's a handful of teams in college football that could actually run that gauntlet, right, and actually win the national championship. So the question I think we should be asking is, how many teams do you have in whatever conference your team is in, whatever conference you're rooting for, how many teams do you have that could get to 10-2 or better? Because that's the question you have to ask yourself to be in the conversation in the month of November for that 8-12 slot in the college football playoff. And so you asked me about the ACC. If Virginia Tech doesn't get caught up in reading their press clippings and everybody patting them on the back, I don't know if you looked at their schedule.
Yep.
They might have to screw it up not to go 10-2. Yeah. Right? NC State's going to be really good. They could go 10-2 or better. You mentioned Miami, Clemson. I have a little bit of a wait and see with Florida State right now, because I feel like our sample size of DJ Uiagalelei is big enough now that when he tells us who he is, we need to start believing him. Mm-hmm. Right. And I understand that he had a pretty good QBR rating, and he threw 22 touchdowns, and he threw for a good amount of yards last year. You know what he didn't do? He didn't complete over 58% of his passes in today's age of college football. You know, and if he was coming into Florida State with all those other guys around him that Jordan Travis had the last 3 years, now we might be having a bit of a different conversation. Mm-hmm. But I think it's 10-2 or better. That's what you got to have as a conference, regardless of the conference, to put yourself in the conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Tom, great seeing you, brother. We're going to go to Maxion Action. He wants to know, who should I trust more, Colorado or Nebraska?
Nebraska.
Agreed.
And I say Nebraska because I honestly think they may start 7-0. If you look at the schedule, again, schedule, man, it matters. Yeah. It really matters. And,
talked about it last week.
You know, they're going to get Colorado and Lincoln this time, right? I understand they've got a freshman quarterback, but he is really, really gifted. He's very talented. I do think they've upgraded the football team overall around him. And the other reason why I would say this is at both Baylor and Temple, heading into year two, Matt Rhule had a plus turnover of four or more games win total in each of those second iterations when he was at Temple and Baylor. So we're going to see a jump for Nebraska. How good is it? I don't know. How good are they? Put it this way. If they started off 6-1 and 7-0, do I think they're that good? No. I think the schedule's afforded them to do that, and I believe that they've improved, and then time will tell.
Without a doubt.
Let's go to Mr. E. He wants to know, hashtag Ask Lugs, what game outside of the SEC Big Ten will mean the most for the college football playoff?
Outside of the SEC and the Big Ten.
That's a good one.
It will be Texas A&M and somebody. Because I think if Connor Wegman stays healthy, they're going to be really good.
I think so, too.
I think they're a dark horse team in the SEC. I know you said outside of the SEC. But,
well, they are playing Notre Dame week one, Tom. To me, that feels like it's a huge game for both programs. But I do think it's a bigger game for Notre Dame because if they don't have a conference they're in. There is no cut. So it's all regular season. And you know the committee wants to put Notre Dame in there as bad as humanly possible. So they're going to have to give the committee a reason not to put them in there. But A&M, you can rebound. But I'm telling you right now, again, we don't make our picks till later. But it's going to be hard for me not to pick Texas A&M in that game.
I totally agree with you. And again, if Wegman stays healthy, I think he's really, really good. And they got players, man. Like,
yeah, they do.
He inherited some good football players. And so that one will be interesting. You know,
Is Florida State Memphis? Is Florida State Memphis? Do you think a game?
That's a scary game.
Yeah.
That's a scary game. That's the equivalent of Colorado scheduling North Dakota State.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because when North Dakota State lines up in 23 personnel and goes full-blown ISO power counter and runs that game in a phone booth,
that's
going to be an interesting Thursday night game, man.
That's no fun.
Not only is it painful, it's also somewhat boring to some people. Last question, Lugs, here. You know, you talked about this a second ago. You know, how many teams can get to 10-2? I keep seeing our audience members and fans of college football say, which, between the Big Ten and the SEC, which league can get four teams in? Or what, one of those leagues will get four teams in. I'm looking around doing the math, Tom, and for a league to get four teams in, that's a whole hell of a lot if you think the SEC and the Big Ten are both going to get at least three in. Because if you do the math on that, if one of those conferences gets four in and the other one gets three in, yeah, that's two automatic qualifiers, but that's five more spots. And you're looking at five spots left with an automatic qualifier from the ACC and the Big 12. So three spots left. And that's not saying if Notre Dame's going to get in or not. I mean, do you think any conference will get four teams in the college football playoff?
The holidays mean more travel, more shopping, more time online, and more personal info in more places that could expose you more to identity theft. But LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or financial losses alone. Get more holiday fun and less holiday worry with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/podcast. Terms apply.
I think it would be really, really difficult. You know, you'd have to have a couple of teams probably that don't play each other in the regular rotation, right? So, I think you'd have to maybe have an undefeated, maybe two. I don't know. Maybe one or two, one loss, an undefeated, and a 10-2. Maybe that would do it. It's funny when you bring up this question because the team nobody's talking about in all of this is Iowa.
Yeah.
Like Iowa, if they can cross the 50-yard line, has like 19 starters back, their tight end back, their quarterback back, and I think they're going to be obviously much better coached on offense. They're going to be in the mix on this. I think they're as much in the mix for a college football playoff in the Big Ten as Michigan or Penn State is.
Well, you know what I feel like? I feel like it's kind of Iowa is inverse LSU right now. Like, their room for growth potential is through the roof because one side of the ball was so awful. Like, LSU's defense doesn't have to be a top 10 defense in the country. They'll probably be a top 25 offense with what they have in that offensive line. So just be a top 40 defense. You're a top 40 defense. LSU's a problem. Iowa has an offense that's in the top 50, good God, they might not lose a game.
So, Tom, are you saying 9-3 is off the table for the college football playoff?
I think it would be very, very tough.
We were talking about
somebody's quarterback better be hurt.
Well, that and like, okay, well, who are your three losses to, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to come under consideration. But I think you'd be teetering on looking from the outside looking in if you sat at that mark. And, you know, that's why, you know, we all talk about, you know, well, who would you put in over this team, over that team when it was four? Well, we're going to have that conversation in 12 and 13. Yeah. And 12 and 14. And you talk about splitting hairs. Like, really, what is the difference between the 11th ranked and 13th ranked team in the country? What's the difference between the 12th and the 15th ranked team in the country? It's actually going to be harder.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Tom, we have 68 teams that make the NCAA tournament. We still argue over teams that didn't get in over other ones of 68. So anybody that thought, you think those arguments were crucial too?
Guys.
Oh, God knows what's about. The term on the bubble. You want to talk about just people really getting nervous about first four in, next four out?
Oh.
That's going to be a real thing. We got to come up with our own terms for it, too.
So I'll tell you, I've had more conversations this summer with coaches about like what it's going to take to actually get into the national championship game. The amount of snaps, the amount of bodies that you're going to need, the amount of luck, the amount of depth that you're going to have. And I'm talking about competitive depth. I'm talking about if you lose two or three guys in that first round of the playoffs, and the next two to three to come in, and there's not a drop-off, all right? How many teams are structured and built that way? It's like that Clemson team that beat Alabama and Santa Clara. And remember Dexter Lawrence got caught with PEDs or whatever and didn't play in the college football playoff? Nobody noticed.
Yeah, they were that good.
Nobody even noticed. They were. I mean, Tyler Davis is a freshman. He walks right in like it was no big deal.
Man.
How many teams are capable of doing that? I mean, that is going to be a straight up battle of attrition.
Well, Tom, there's not many guys that are capable of bringing the info that you bring to us, my friend. Tell everybody where I know you're all over the world this time of year. By the way, I'm still just trying to figure out what that painting is in the background. I think it's a Matisse, but I can't figure it out. I'm not smart enough to. But, man, tell everybody what you got going on right now. And obviously, we're going to see you all over the TV and all over the internet machine here soon.
Well, right now, I'm in Atlanta because I'm going over and I'm going to do you'll love this, David. We're doing our some campus tours. I've got five teams out of the ACC this month, and we're starting off here at Tech. And I'm going to sit down with Haynes King tonight.
Nice.
And we're gonna take one play from the break of the huddle, and we're going to have him walk us through from A to Z what's required of him on this play, pre-snap, through the snap, to the completion of the play, and have him knock it all out for us and kind of peel back the layer of the process by which you have to, you know, operate at that position and have him walk it through us. So we're going to do that tonight at 6 o'clock, and then we're going to build our show around that in the practice tomorrow. So I'm bouncing around doing that. I've got right now I'm getting ready to put together what is maybe one of the most difficult things they asked me to do, and that is to put together a freshman All-American team. Good luck finding two offensive tackles that you know are going to
be started. Yeah. Down, set.
Right? Right? Exactly. And so I'm getting ready to kind of put that together. Thank God Dylan Raiola, at least we know he's going to play at Nebraska.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
An easy one. I didn't have a quarterback last year to use. I was like, hey,
Here's one tackle. Jordan Seaton at Colorado, because God knows they need help there for sure.
I've jotted him down. There's no doubt about that. Yeah.
Definitely. Well, Luke, thanks so much, buddy. You do a hell of a job. We can't wait to talk to you once toe meets leather.
Sounds good, guys. Have a great one.
Tom Luginbill, one of the best in the business. Also, if you're looking, maybe somebody that's best in the business, if you got unfiled returns or you got some back taxes, well, believe me, these guys aren't freshman All-Americans. They were All-Americans for 4 years and even further than that. That's our friends over at Tax Network USA. Handling your tax stuff alone can be a huge mistake and cost you thousands of dollars. In these challenging times, your best offense and defense, and really special teams, is Tax Network USA. They got over 14 years of experience in the game, and the experts there have saved clients millions in back taxes. Regardless of the size of your tax issue, their expertise is your advantage. Size doesn't matter. And upon signing up, Tax Network USA immediately calls the IRS, gets you that protection order. They are your offensive line, ensuring that aggressive collection activities such as garnishments, levies, or property seizures are halted, and it gives you peace of mind. So, for a complimentary consultation, call today at 1-800-958-1000 or visit their website at tnusa.com/booster. That's 1-800-958-1000 or visit tnusa.com/booster today. Don't let the IRS take advantage of you. Take advantage of them with Tax Network USA. All right, the phone lines are open. All right, but we want to give you all a special Monday edition.
Tree.
Giant. There's a lawn there.
Groot.
There's a lawn there. And there's a certain competition.
That's a huge.
That needs to get off of David Cohn's lawn
on a Monday.
And then we're going to get to phone calls and then back to the chat. David, who is G'ing off your L ever so gently?
I wish I could.
But also hardly.
Don't you know?
Yeah.
The Olympics opening ceremony needs to get off my lawn.
It's a movement.
5 weeks ago, I told the Olympics to get off my lawn for defending the concept of men competing in women's sports, and yet I still did not think the games would go so far as to feature. During the opening ceremony, no less, drag queens mocking Christianity by reenacting the Last Supper with exposed genitalia.
What?
Okay. I understand that the host country, France, is known for celebrating eccentricity and sexual decadency. But what does it say about the people running the International Olympic Committee that they would allow such a disgusting display of depravity? It says to me, they sanction the messaging. And the messaging is quite clear. Christianity stands in opposition to the LGBT initiative. Therefore, it must be ridiculed. Understand, every second of that production was created intentionally to further an agenda. You don't spend $100 million and take 2 years building an event just to what, accidentally offend people? The obese woman who replaced Jesus, this Barbara Butch, responded to a photo of the scene with the New Gay Testament. That's unquote there. French President Emmanuel Macron applauded this ceremony, quote, thanks to Thomas Jolly and his creative genius for the grandiose ceremony. Thank you to the artists of this unique and magical moment. It's a magical moment, so magical that the IOC has already attempted a backpedal, stating, quote, the organizing committee said there was never any intention to show disrespect to a religious group or belief. The only intent was to celebrate community and tolerance. If anyone was offended, they are sorry. This is what's known as a Mott and Bailey tactic. Commit a controversial action, see if you get away with it. If not, retreat to a position that's easier to defend. In this case, no, this is just about tolerance. Stop being so sensitive, Christians. We just want to be accepted by everyone by having the drag queens with their genitals out. Clearly, Christians have given the impression that they can be mocked with impunity. That's not the case for other religions. Turn this insult of Christ's Last Supper into a depiction of Muhammad, and there would be severe repercussions. But regardless of religious affiliation, the scenes produced last week have no place at a public sporting event. For those listening right now who are not Christian, not religious, maybe even atheist with no interest in God whatsoever, how can you watch this and think this was on brand for the world's largest sports stage? The Olympic motto is faster, higher, stronger. Yet drag queens on stage is the best we can do to honor an event designed to examine what athletic feats humans are capable of? I truly feel bad for the thousands of athletes who have worked their entire lives to reach this level only to be upstaged by Mrs. Papa Smurf. Luckily for all of them, I am here to call out insanity on their behalf. So Olympics, for the second time this summer, get off my lawn.
Very good, David. I just, you know, and not to spend too long on it because, I mean, it really just gave me another reason not to watch most of the Olympics. The Winter Olympics is my favorite. I know a lot of people on the other side of that. It's just true now. It's blatantly obvious that if you want to mock a religion, it has to be either Judaism or Christianity. Those are the two where it's okay. You can be anti-Christian. You can be anti-Semitic. And it's okay. That's part of it because the Christians and Jewish people, they're the bad guys. For some reason, that's what it's been labeled. If you tried to do it, like you said, about Islam or any other religion, there would be severe repercussions. Hell, look what happened to Charlie Egbo when they talked about Muhammad or showed a picture or whatever. They went and got the whole place shot up. Like, it's just amazing that we've gotten to the point where Christians can be the punching bag. You can be anti-Semitic, but you're not the bad guy if that's you. And that should be acceptable. Sit here and take it. No, it's either every religion can be mocked and that's okay and we can all say kumbaya, or no religion can be mocked. And that just is what it is. There is in certain exceptions for Christianity or Judaism. And I, for one, am about tired of it. I'm about sick of it, to be honest with you. Like, you can sit here and make fun of me and for only for a certain amount of time until I get upset about it. And at some point, you got to draw the line. And they did it on purpose, like you said. They spent too much money not to do this. And some people are trying to say, oh, well, it wasn't really mocking it. Man, that's BS. It's just, it's gotten to a point now where it's so blatantly obvious that, you know, somebody's got to put a stop to it.
What'd you make of this? I mean, this was mega viral. Oh, everybody in the world saw this.
Well, I make of it, one, I just want to watch sports.
Yeah, like, dude.
Like, regardless of what you believe in, like I can't. People are spending their lives trying to get the highest elevated they could be in their sport, and we turn on the Olympics, and this is what we get. That's the people I feel bad for, who worked their whole life to get to this. And now I'm watching the guy from Long Legs painted in blue on a table.
Yeah.
You know, it's disgusting. Like, we're here to watch sports. I don't care about what religion, this or that. I mean, look at this, guys. It's the guy from Long Legs. It's Gorlak the Destroyer. And it's JP.
That is Gorlak.
It's JP from Grandma's Boy.
That's exactly right.
I'm just trying to watch sports. Get this away. Yeah.
Can I see somebody swim? Or, like, you know, at this point, like, stop the opening ceremony. Just stop doing them. Oh, let's just turn the TV on. If this is what I'm about to watch, if I'm about to watch old Greg's gay brother, like, sit there on a table with his wiener and the rest of it out, I'd rather, you know, just turn on ping pong or something straight up. It's just like, what are we doing?
I don't know. These people don't know.
Here's the final question. I mean, because it's not just a one-off moment. This isn't just, oh, this just happened, everybody's upset. I mean, this is happening time and time again, not just with the Olympics, but every globalist organization or institution that there is. I mean, we can't even turn on the Country Music Awards or the Grammys without seeing someone lap dancing on Satan. So it's in every facet of our society. My question is, do you guys advocate for boycotting and for people to turn this off? Or is this a situation where, hey, you can't run from life? Is there a way to utilize our purchasing power without running away where we can fight and sort of take back these organizations?
Well, I mean, if you're doing anything that's giving money back to the people that are doing this, like I don't think they'll get the message.
Well, your eyeballs.
I know, that's what I'm saying. So like to me, I think there are times where it is necessary. Look what happened with John Deere. Look what happened with Bud Light. It's amazing what happens if you hit them in the pockets. That hits a whole hell of a lot different.
And y'all were right on Bud Light. I thought it would last for 2 weeks.
No.
That was a movement.
Like Jonah Hill said in Superbad, when No Boy pissed his pants in second grade. People don't forget. Like, the only way you can hurt him is by not watching.
Will this be a Bud Light moment or no? Will it rise to that level?
If it happened, if we had the Olympics,
yeah,
every year,
like
I think
Bud Light's such.
Well, but since it happens only once every, you know, what really, two years. But
I think it takes the athletes bowing. I think it takes the athletes bowing out of this. I think it's going to take somebody starting their own Olympics. Well, you need sports people. That's what you need. You need sports people as close to sports. These aren't sports people.
True.
These are propaganda politician people pushing this. You need sports people around sports stuff to fix it. The Nick Saban thing, which you say all the time. You need Nick Saban around football, right?
Yeah.
You need sports people like around sports.
If you had any reservations or thought, you know what? I may watch the Olympics. Let me flip over here to the opening ceremonies. I don't think that brought in anybody.
Yeah.
I think that's where it's going to hurt them the most. You have people that look forward to the Olympics so much, they're going to watch it regardless. Right, I love college football so much, it would take a ton for me to stop watching college football. So you do have those diehards that are going to watch it. But if you're trying to win anybody over, or if somebody's like, hey, I'll give it a chance to watch the Olympics, or a family sat down and was like, hey, let's all watch the Olympics together, and you saw that, I don't think you won anybody over.
Where I thought Blaine was going with that was, it's going to take someone starting their own Olympics, one that uses steroids. Okay,
yeah.
Now watch by steroids.
Blaine slowly
Olympics
turning into Peter
thing.
Thiel.
They beat me to that. Look, and the Daily Wire could do it. Just start a regular Olympics.
Good stuff. You guys want phone calls?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it.
All right, let's go to Will in New Jersey. Will, I think we got a Pongo alert for you, man. How you doing?
That's right.
Oh, I'm doing good, Dave. I'm glad you decided to talk to me today.
Hey, look, man. We can't go another day without
David took his magic mind.
David specifically looked at me and said, look, yesterday I didn't want to take
this call. Yeah, he said, God, I just don't want to hear from Will from New Jersey.
I know. I could feel it all the way up here. My Scrapple burned in the morning.
Oh, no. Nothing worse than a burned Scrapple. There's only one worse thing you can burn that starts with SCR that would be worse.
But it still tastes good,
though.
Things
shouldn't be on the stove, but you should put in the toilet.
That's very true.
They don't know yet, Will.
Hey, I know. But then you go out and you get a PS5 instead of an Xbox. You're starting to hurt me, Dave.
Oh, are you mad at me for that?
It's just crazy because I didn't think David had such little hands.
I tried to both out at Best Buy. I held both of them. Maybe you guys are talking about the old PlayStation controller.
It's one of those things. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. You're an Xbox guy.
Yeah.
Why do you say that? Why is the joystick at different levels on the Xbox?
You're an Xbox guy, and you got a PlayStation.
Yeah.
I've never had an Xbox. Yeah. I've only played PlayStation. So how am I an Xbox guy?
You had the high ground, and then you gave it up.
What, like, that's my inner insight? I identify as an Xbox guy?
You're trying to make fetch work. It's not going to work, Gretchen.
I'm sorry I disappointed everyone, and it's only Monday.
Will, tell them about your disappointments.
Well, I mean, I think we've said everything we need to say. We now know that the 6'7" former quarterback has very tiny hands.
Burger King hands.
I did beat Appalachian State in Paulson Stadium.
Yeah, I got the T-Rex arms.
You'll know that.
That's what's important. Jake, I just also wanted to express my pride to you. I know a couple months ago we made a Mets Braves alliance, but I never thought, and I think they say fatherhood does change a man. Mm-hmm. I never thought I would see the day where you took our alliance and decided to go Mets money line against the Braves. It was such a heartwarming moment for me.
Well,
oh.
Well, yeah. Will, I just want to let you know what I was really hoping was I was on kind of a bad run for a couple days. So I was hoping I would reverse jinx the Mets. Turned out it didn't work.
No,
yeah. Turns out it didn't work.
It's time we bring the truth to the table. All right.
Whoa.
Neither of these guys are Braves fans.
Okay.
Whoa.
All right. And I think people are starting to figure it out. First off,
Ranger.
You watch your mouth, you
Reds
ignorant
game.
Slut. Betting
but I went to
Mets.
A Reds game because I'd never been to a Great American Ballpark.
It walks like a duck.
Hey.
It talks like a duck.
Says the Yankees fan
it's
with the
Reds. It's definitely not a goose.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many times have you been to
Yankee Stadium?
That's how much of a fan I am.
Yeah, you hadn't even been there. That's how much of a fan.
Rule one of betting, leave your emotions and your fandom at the door. That's what he did, and he hit that.
That's exactly right. You bet with your head, not with your heart.
Well, you know, Blaine, when you eventually make your way up here, us true New York baseball fans, we'll go up, we'll hit a Yankees game at a Mets game, we'll have a good old time.
I tell you what, Will, I always knew you were a good guy when you called in, but now you just totally checked off you're a great guy.
Will, this call, it's going downhill since the start.
It's not. Now Will, you just want to stay
now
on.
Now Blaine has upset me.
Now you just want to stay. Look, don't be mad at me. Be mad at yourself.
I'm not mad at myself.
Proof's in the pudding,
I rep the Braves. What do you mean the proof's in the pudding? I've been a Braves fan my whole life, dog.
I don't know.
What do you mean proof's in the
Brad
pudding?
Pitt thought
I'm
his
covered
wife,
in pudding.
Brad Pitt thought his wife wasn't a spy for the Germans.
Yeah, well, this isn't Seven or Memento.
All right, we don't really know.
Yeah. All right, Will.
See you, Will.
Thanks, Will.
All right.
All right, let's go to Michael in Kentucky. Michael, golly, you had a lot to live up to with that
secret
last call.
Blends of herbs and spices.
Well, hey guys, how you doing?
What's good. Up, man?
First time caller, long time listener.
Appreciate it.
Really, just one thing I wanted to add to your get off my lawn. I was watching with my daughter, and I knew what was happening with that Marie Antoinette thing. And then they pan up and show a severed head stump.
Yeah.
And she's on top of it all.
Bro, it's like now it makes sense why y'all got y'all's ass beat so bad in World War II so quick.
Yeah, but
y'all just blow it every opportunity.
They just can't get out of this. They can't get out of this one by just saying, well, France is just, you know how eccentric.
No, I'm not saying I've been there.
But that's a narrative that's out there. Is that, well, France is just a weird place. Hey, the opening ceremonies are always an expression of artistic endeavor. You can't get out of that when you've prepped this for 2 years. And the IOC, look how much it just takes just any marketing firm in the world. Like how many tranches of bureaucracy you have for someone to sign off. This is the Olympics that only happens once every four years. How many people had to sign off?
Wonder who had that. Like, just think about it. Just think about it for a second. You're on the IOC
committee.
And it's the meeting,
where everybody is
pitching their ideas.
And there's like three people.
Yeah, there's like three people that pitch ideas, and they're like, "All right, let's see, Esteban, you tell me yours." And he's like, "Well, I want to do this thing with like." Jennifer Lopez, where she's like the son. They're like, all right, Tevin, tell me yours. And he's like, do this. They're like, all right, Jeff, tell me yours. And he's like, all right, you guys, I want you to really think about this. Transgender Last Supper. All right, we start with a naked man.
Say no more. So
they're like, oh my God, Jeff, this is the greatest
kids, Michael's
ever.
Kids in Kentucky will love it.
Yeah, he'll love that. His daughter will love the severed head.
God.
But yeah, really what I'm calling was, I know I'm a Hoosier, so we're excited about Cignetti and what he did at JMU. But I don't, he's making a lot of promises that we're not necessarily on board with. But do you think we can sneak up on this year? Mm. And I know we have probably one of the worst runs of schedule, Washington, Michigan, Ohio State, like right in a row. I'm not thinking that, but like,
Penn State on the schedule.
Run me through the schedule.
No, Penn State on the schedule, and Penn State's usually good at sneaking up on people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
Let's go to.
That's terrible.
All right. Let's go FIU at home.
Okay.
WIU at home.
Okay.
At UCLA.
Okay.
Charlotte at home. Not an easy win. I have in my one star dynasty. All right. You have Maryland at home.
Okay.
All right. At Northwestern. Okay. Nebraska at home. Washington at home. At Michigan State. The Fighting David Cones at home. At OSU, which is Ohio State, and then Purdue, the Boilermakers at home.
I'll give you two. I think you could sneak up on Nebraska, who I think will be really hot and heavy at that moment. We talked about it a little bit with Tom Luganville. But I'll tell you what, man. As far as early and Cignetti getting off to a good start, that Maryland game at home, I think is gettable for you guys. Here's and you know what? I know people say, oh, well, that's not considered a huge win. But where Cignetti is building that thing from, I don't think a lot of people really know who Kurt Cignetti is. And then you look at a picture of him and you think, oh, just an old school, you know, kind of coach, run of the mill. No, no, no. Cignetti's got swag. Like, Cignetti's got a lot of swag. Like, he's, don't judge a book by his cover. This dude is uber confident. He can really recruit. And look at his, the dude wins. And he even came out and said it. He's like, just look at my record. I don't fall asleep thinking he's like an old, you know, fence biter. Let's go win one for the Gipper. Now, Cignetti's got some juice.
And I like the Nebraska pick because that's a week after a bye week, too.
That's what I'm telling you. They'll bite somebody. That roster isn't where it needs to be yet. Yeah. We all know that. But don't be shocked if you look up 2 or 3 years from now, and Indiana's a problem. Like, not that they're atop the Big Ten, but all of a sudden, every 2 to 3 years, they got a team that's making a little bit of noise and knocking off somebody they shouldn't. And then, because again, I mean, Michael, I mean, you're right there in Kentucky. If you win 8 games a year at Indiana, like you average 8 wins a year, you can be a legend forever on the football side of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And I mean, he made a good point when he joined. It's like, we will almost always end within a score. We took Michigan to one score. We took Ohio State to one score multiple times over the years. And it's just, you know, getting over that hump in that fourth quarter because we don't have the depth. But, you know, it's picking – it's like we had the issue with Charlie over here with – and he – it was a mid-major guy, and mid-major guys can do really good at a Dayton. They can do really good – at some places, but then you're going into the primo, you can't have that. But
for sure,
our program is that mid-major program.
Well, and
in the major,
but I think there's room for growth. To me, just my gut instinct makes me think that Cignetti could make it cool to play at Indiana, which you don't think about. Like you basketball, hey, you got the cool, you know, checkered pants or whatever it is, the tradition they've got in basketball, great home environment. But you don't think about Indiana as like, as that's a cool place to go play. I think Cignetti has a The question is, if he does get hot, I don't think he's going to be there that long, to be honest with you.
That's a bigger topic. Yeah.
That's the bigger problem within the problem.
Great call, man.
Great call, Michael. Call back,
Cignetti.
Yeah, man.
Bombing on his sweater already.
No problem, man.
Call in again soon.
Yeah. Is he going to go against the French ribs? Is he going to boycott those?
Look.
Investigation.
Look. No. I want to make, again, caveat. Grilled ribs. Baked ribs. Oh, God.
You don't even know.
No, I do know.
See, it's all you, Michael. Brad Pitt's wife.
I'll tell you what.
There to sign off on the ceremony?
What's that movie, My Brother's Keeper, where those brothers are just like living together on the farm? They're like,
look, we're going to have to take Jake
and one of them gets sick.
We're going to have to tell him to look out in the water. Like,
I hope you don't ever get
sick. Look out in the water.
It's a real bison situation.
I really hope you don't ever get sick.
Oh, thank you, Michael, for that.
Appreciate it.
All right, let's go to Jack in Auburn. Jack, what's going on?
Hey, guys, how y'all doing?
Be nimble. You better be quick.
It feels good, don't it, though, Jackie boy?
It does. David, seriously, PlayStation. Seriously.
What is going on right now?
I told you, David.
What is happening right now?
I'm so glad.
I'm about to have to take this thing back. I need the next call in to be a PlayStation.
PlayStations are for soy boys.
You know, it's like.
Is it really?
I forgot what it's that movie. What's that movie where the guy's playing Satan? It's like, you know, it's easy to corrupt bad people, but you know what really just brings me joy? When you turn one of the good ones bad. It's just.
I've always had a PlayStation. We're talking about turning bad.
And you know the audience knows you got to ride Xbox.
A guy named Jake at Best Buy sold it to me, and he was very knowledgeable.
Well, good. Guess what? Is his last name Rogers?
I don't know.
That's the same one I met at the convention. I'm going to drown him in the hot tub.
Oh, no.
So one of the sports stories that's decently big that flew under the radar these past couple weeks was UCLA canceling their series with Georgia and Auburn to face two former Pac-12 foes, Utah and Cal, I want to say.
Shoot, controversial. I call that smart.
It is smart, but still, you canceled, business decision, and it's better for their program, but that leaves, I have no idea what Georgia's going to do. I could care less what Georgia's going to do, but there's an old adage in professional wrestling, if a match is canceled, you schedule a bigger one in its place. Marvel did that perfectly over this weekend with Tony Stark coming into play, Dr. Doom.
Yeah.
I would like to see Auburn put Notre Dame in UCLA's spot.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Give us Auburn Notre Dame.
Jack,
first off, I love the confidence. Okay? I love the confidence. The second thing is, UCLA is smart. They look at that Big Ten schedule and they're like, no, we ain't playing. Even though Utah, that's no walk in the park by any stretch of the imagination. But Jack, the last thing, you know what I love? I love this non-conference schedule. Cal's the toughest. Alabama A&M. This is what, when you got to play Georgia and you got to play Bama and you got to play all these. No, I didn't. Just the coach in me comes out. No, give us Notre Dame State.
Some things that are hard to do aren't worth doing.
Yeah.
All right? They're not.
No, you know what it's fun to do?
They're not.
On your dynasty for schedule Auburn and Notre Dame.
Great.
On Xbox, PS5,
I just don't know how we lose to New Mexico State and then really open the books and say, hey, let's go.
Yeah, let's go Notre Dame.
I'm more in favor of, like, and this goes hand in hand with the conversation we just had with Tom Luganville about whether 9 teams can make the college football playoff. I mean, I'd rather see the strength of schedule get weighted so heavily that an Auburn team who loses 2 conference games, right? Let's say Auburn loses 2 conference games to Georgia and to Texas, and then schedules Notre Dame in the non-conference and loses that too and is 9-3, but is plays in the SEC championship game. They still have a chance to make the playoff because of scheduling like that. That would be better for college football than watching the schedule Northern Alabama.
It's like, hold on, you thought I wanted what's best for college
Georgia
football?
Georgia and Alabama every year. I don't want to hear shit from anybody ever.
Oh, you're not in the same division anymore, so maybe that'll go away. True. I don't know.
No, they're like, no, we're keeping it.
Those are Auburn.
We can wait a couple years. We're going to keep Bama. And by the way, why don't you go to Missouri, too?
Yeah.
But
I love the confidence, man.
Jack, we'll see. We'll see.
3 years is a long time. I think Auburn's going to be a lot more improved when we host them, if we do this. I have no idea what's going to happen. But I would like to have them at home first. And
let's go give a really good group of 5 school a chance. Let's go play Liberty.
But how many times? Like 4? You want 4 of those in the non-conference?
Would love them.
Play Liberty 4 years around the non-conference?
No, I'm talking about 4 different.
We're giving back to the community of Liberty. To get some exposure.
Okay, so let's say you get one of those. You get one opportunity to give back since you're so generous, right? You get to schedule one group of five. Then what are the other 3
non-conference? One group of five. Who am I taking?
Group of 6.
Who am I taking?
So high school.
Hey, look.
So Opelika High School. Look, hey, you know, we criticize it. I just watched Michigan do it and win the national championship. Yeah. I get it, man.
Y'all's first game was against the cast from Full House.
Y'all's first game was against our audio team.
Which it makes it more impressive what Nick Saban did. I mean, I know a lot of Alabama and Nick Saban haters will say that he just made the easiest schedules year after year.
Oh, no, Alabama.
I don't see it that way. Every year they were opening with a blue blood.
Break off Florida State.
Whoever started quarterback at Florida State, they're just like, you're injured now.
Yeah. I saw him beat
like DeAndre Francois. Here's his leg.
I was at that game.
I saw him beat up Thanos week 2.
Yeah.
They beat Michigan in Jerry's World by like 40 points or something. All right. Thanks, Jack.
Thanks, Jack.
All right. Let's get a couple more in quickly. Cade in Idaho, what's on your mind?
Hey, this is Bronco Spud.
What up?
And I want to talk about Kalen Green in Arkansas.
Ooh.
What's on your mind?
Wow.
Everybody's talking up Kalen Green, but are we just going to ignore the fact that he lost his starting position at Boise State?
No, Cade, if you've been watching Crane and Company, what we have continued to say, and I've even given him a compliment about how I thought he threw the ball better in the spring game than what I'd seen in the past, but I am by no means sold that Green can consistently throw the ball for Arkansas, and they're not very good up front. So we're not sitting here heaping praise on Green being like the preseason player.
You're not going to need him to throw it. With that offensive line, by God, you're going to need him to run it.
Yeah, run away.
As much as possible.
Yeah, it's a Kanye song.
I'm convinced every team could rush 11 players. Every play.
Just against him? Because he can't throw?
He's not that bad, obviously. I mean, obviously he's not bad. Look,
Arkansas, as bad as that roster is, I think Taylen Green can be, like, in a couple years, be something pretty good.
He's got to be an RPO moving the pocket. He can't be a guy that's going to sit there and be a drop back passer that you're going to put in 10 personnel and say, all right, go ahead and spit it out to everybody. He needs to be a lot more Matt Jones, right? Not saying he can run like Matt Jones. That's one of the fastest white boys I've ever seen in my life. But he needs to be more Matt Jones than Matt Corral.
He either needs to be run or 40 yards down the field.
Mm. Yeah.
Nick Marshall Express.
Appreciate it, Cade. Thank you, man.
Hey, good luck against Oregon early.
Woo. All right, last call of the day. Quickly, we got Jonah in Arkansas. Jonah, what's going on?
Two quick things. Number one, David, let's be adults about this and do the right thing. Get rid of the PS5 and get an Xbox.
Thank you. I have another one.
Three calls.
Tony, I tried
three
to
for
tell
three.
You.
There's no PlayStation fans out there. Now I have to. I'm taking it back today.
Thank you.
No. Number two, it goes to the Olympic opening because I've seen a lot of other Christians posting on social media about how outrageous it is, and it is outrageous. I think it's also important to keep in mind that Jesus himself warned us about this, saying, like, telling his followers, hey, they're going to hate you because they hated me first. Why? Because darkness hates the light. And I think it's important to keep that in mind during this too, while trying to think of ways where we can still get our voices heard in that.
Yeah,
no, I understand that. It's just frustrating to see it on the grandest stages.
Of sports.
Of sports, right. And in life. Like, every single time. Like, this isn't, like, the faraway corner. This wasn't some art festival down in the middle of Paris that Jake stumbled upon when he was on vacation. Like, oh, they're doing weird stuff over there because they hate Christians. Like, okay, there's always been hatred on the periphery, on the fringes of society. Like, man, these are on the grandest stages of our life. You know, and that's what's frustrating.
Yeah. And the only thing you can do really is, I mean, just forgive them.
When I can't tell the difference between the opening ceremonies of the Olympics or a Sam Smith concert, I think we have a problem.
Golly, that's true. That's true. Thank you, Jonah. Appreciate it, man.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Jonah. I really did not need that image in my head of
what?
Of Sam's.
You wear those outfits all the
time. Grab
all right, hand. What do we got? I was adjusting it was the Gus Malzahn. You know, you see Gus Malzahn during the game? He's like,
Dexter's Laboratory?
Gus Malzahn, if you took a drink, every time Gus Malzahn's adjusts his pants on the sidelines, you would literally have alcohol. You'd be dead halfway through the second quarter.
And you're drinking
even
water.
Even when he's called, like, he can be in the middle of calling a hurry up, like pulling his pants up. It's like, dog, somebody tie these pants around this man. Anyways, wow, what a change of direction there. Give me the Phillies money line, -142. And then the Mariners, right? We got a Rosarena, all right? Money line, +100.
Okay, I see your Mariners pick. Just don't score in the first innings. I got Mariners, Red Sox, Nerfy, -135. What are you saying over there?
What was that noise just made?
My bad.
Good it sounded God, like a
talk about Gorlock. Again. Anyway, Cleveland, Detroit, Nerfy as well. No runs in the first inning, -130. Double Nerfy today.
All right, I'm so sick of betting baseball. This sucks.
God, Thursday Hall of Fame game. I don't even care anymore.
I'm so ready to bet first touchdowns, and there might be a little
thing. Oh, God, your first touchdown.
There might be a little thing happening.
Yeah, they said somebody said, race to 100K.
It might be getting announced Friday. Who knows? Today, I'm taking. I hate both these bets. Don't take them. All right, give me Orioles money line, -158. Reds money line.
Reds.
Jake's favorite team, -108. I do want you to know there's an open investigation with you.
Oh, good.
About really who was behind the opening ceremony.
What did you have to drink for today's show?
There's nothing in that.
Oh, there's nothing in it because you drank it all?
It's a prop.
Because you drank it all?
No.
Good. I just want to make sure the cyanide works. It's a prolonged release. We'll know in 30 minutes after the show. Here's what Ace has got. He's got Rangers money line, -112. Then the Braves money line. Well, there's a losing bet at +100.
See? Another one. Tap it up right there. Losing bet. No belief in his own team. True fan. No one knows. If you donated today, thank you so much. Trust me, over here at Crane & Company, we love your money. All right, we're going to start it off with a $10 donation from TJ, also known as Troy Jacobs. As much as I'm jacked and tanned for my Ducks and Niners season to start, I'm super jacked and ready to coach my two oldest boys
in
their third and fourth grade seven-man tackle.
Let's go.
Woo.
Hey, eyes up.
Head
see
up,
what you hit.
Head, hips, hands, feet.
Yep. Eyes up.
$5 donation from Michael Drummond. Appreciate it, Mike. I know we won't have JMU schedule, but we Hoosiers are excited about Cignetti. Can Indiana sneak up on anyone this year? We got that call earlier today. $5 donation from Mattress Monty. Wow, appreciate it, Matt. I believe the Packers will only win 9 games this season. I think Blaine is right. I think Jordan Love got overpaid.
Hey, so, they won 9 a year ago and then made the playoffs, though.
So let me ask you this question, though. How many years is the contract for Jordan Love?
4.
4? So let's say after 3 years, all right, the Packers have made a couple playoff runs. Jordan Love's been good, and he's like the 6th highest paid quarterback in the league with that contract. Would you say that was a smart move? Because, again, we've got to look ahead, too, of what the market's
They're definitely looking ahead.
Like, that's something I want to make sure our audience does. Like, it's not just a in this moment in time, because I don't know if you noticed, but it seems like every contract that anybody gets, regardless of position, is now, like, the highest. God, remember, we saw this with receivers. It was like Amon-Ra and Justin Jefferson, like all this stuff.
Which is a reflection of where the league is at. So that part of it's good. But they won 9 games a year ago in the regular season, made the playoffs, go to the Cowboys, beat them in the wild card, and then they were 3 points away from playing in the NFC Championship.
There's a lot of hope. Hope's a dangerous drug.
That is true. How old do y'all think a bear would have to be before I could, like, straight lace it? Like, I could win a fight 1v1 versus a bear. How old does a bear have to be?
Like, you mean how young does the bear have to be?
Yeah,
or like
young, old, like how, what's the age of the bear?
Before it kills you?
I don't know how fast bears grow.
Before you think I could take it, I could straight lace it.
Like three days old.
3 days?
2 years. $5 donation from Ryan. Appreciate it. Come on, Jake. We all know you had something to do with those opening ceremonies. # French Spy, # Men's Choir, # Brave Sucks, # Not a Real Braves Fan. # David's ugly and we all know.
God, # stop.
I added those last two hashtags. $2 donation from Timmy. Blaine's scared to play me in NCAA 25.
Yeah, he is.
I DM'd him on Xbox. First of all, brother, get out of my DMs.
No, ever since Cone beat you live on the show.
All right, poll. While I'm waiting for Cone to play me again, we'll ever see if that happens.
Never.
Why would I play
you? Will you ever watch the Olympics again? Yes or no?
I'm going to say people said yes because maybe they'll fix it in the future. I'm going to say 61%.
I don't know if they mean it or not, but let's just say they said no, 51%.
Ooh, no, 55.
Wow. Ooh, they are. Maybe a Bud Light moment.
Very, very sneaky. All right, college football's coming. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Tell everybody to subscribe. Make sure you keep checking us out. Go sign up for the Daily Wire Plus. Shout out to Game Time, Magic Mind.
$5 donation from Qsmo. Did y'all see the video some of the Raiders players made mocking Patrick Mahomes and Kermit the Frog puppet? Will they regret doing that?
I did. I said three-peat.
Yeah, anytime I would not mock Patrick Mahomes. No point will that help you. All right, shout out to Magic Mind and Tax Network and our buddy Tom Luganbill. We'll catch you tomorrow. Same time, same place, same fun. And like the chances of me wanting to see that guy painted in blue ever again.
Catch it left-handed.
We're going.
See, you can't do it both.
I can do it both. I need to throw it up with my left hand.
Offensive
gone.
Lineman.
Gone.